The good ball played in to Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Threader podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. I'm to the road to 2K. You can follow me on all socials, and you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. Make sure to smash the likes. Let's spread awareness and do share muscular dystrophy. This is my last podcast before I take a festive break. But this evening, I'm joined by my special guest, Beth Tucker, who is a presenter and contributor of the United Stand. This is the match preview. I'll be doing the pre-match talk show. Aston Villa versus Manchester United. In the Premier League on Sunday is a 4:30 p.m. kickoff. And this is the last game before Christmas. The festive period begins. Can Aston Villa get 10 wins in a row? However, over the years, Aston Villa have a poor record against Man United, and they haven't beaten them since Unai Emery's first game in charge back in 2022. But this time, I'm confident we can break the curse, and we can continue our fine form, and we can put the pressure on Manchester City and Arsenal. Please have the show, Beth. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Chad. I'm very, very excited to be on. And as much as I think you might be right by breaking the curse, I'm hoping that isn't the case. I mean, as good as Villa have been over the last few years, yeah, we've always done quite well against you guys. So I'm hoping that continues. But thank you for having me.
You're bringing on to this. They seem to be a bit of sort of like a bogey team. You always seem to get the better of us. Like, I just don't know what it is, but it always seems to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have teams like that. Like, no matter how well we're doing in the league, which isn't very well over the last few years, there is always them teams that do seem to get the better of us. Bournemouth, who we've just played, is one of them. Wolves, who we've just played, is usually one of them, but they are really poor at the moment. But Aston Villa do tend to be a side that we've always done pretty well against. I think it's because Unai Emery does like to play a high line, and we've always had players that are very, very good on the counter-attack. But I'm thinking, I've been watching a lot of your games recently, and no matter what, even if you go down in the game and you concede, you always have a strong mentality. You've got a great spine of the team, which I think is really important. Yep. So I think you'll definitely give us a tough, tough challenge. If I had to say, and I don't want to go too early, I do think Villa have the upper hand here. But I'm just sort of holding on to the fact that United do have some good players, and it is a team that we've notoriously done quite well against.
In goal, I think it'd be a very competitive game. And like you said, the whole line. I think both teams are going to be up for it. I think it'd be end-to-end. You know, we've got players on that we can hit you with a counter-attack. And you've got some explosive attackers. The likes of Cunha, not Sesko. We might be left. I think you play quite open. Against Bournemouth, you left yourselves quite open.
Yeah, we usually tend to concede as many as we score, it seems like. So if we score one goal, we'll concede a goal. If we score four goals, we'll concede four goals. So our problem this season is that we're conceding too many goals. Last season, where we did really poorly in the league, we were conceding a lot of goals, but we weren't scoring many. This year, we're scoring, but we are conceding too many goals. And especially with De Ligt still out, Maguire still out, that is going to put us under pressure. Aidan Heaven, who started last game, is still only 19. Lenny Yorrow, who's been starting, is 20. Yeah. And Luke Shaw, as good as I think he is, he isn't exactly a natural centre-back. He's been playing there. He's been playing very well, but he is a full-back. So it's not as if we have a stable back line either. And you with the likes of, you know, Morgan Rogers, who's been doing super well recently. Yep. Started the season quite slow, but he's just on fire now. Ollie Watkins is an experienced Premier League striker. You've got other players who can hurt us as well. I think if you press us, we'll be there.
Yeah, because as an Aston Villa fan, it gives me more confidence that you can see the lot of goals when United. I can't believe that John Paul. The defensive record's been hammering. That must be a worry for you, as a Man United fan.
Yeah, it is. I think I saw last game, it's 6 clean sheets in 43 Premier League games for Ruben Amorim, or 7 maybe, which is just, that is a disaster. Like, that is so poor. And to think that we play 3 centre-backs and then 2 wing-backs, which oftentimes act as full-backs. It's basically a 5 at the back for a lot of these games, and we're conceding that many goals. I think it comes down to the fact that we've got 2 midfielders and one of them basically plays as a number 10 in Bruno Fernandes. So our midfield is so open a lot of the time. And the fact that Casemiro's out for this game because he got a yellow card against Bournemouth isn't going to help us in that aspect. And also, what's going to help you guys as well, I mean, this is a little bit of a different conversation, is the players that are going to AFCON in Ahmad and Mbeumo, that's they're 2 of our better players as well.
That's for you guys. Because the Ahmad and Mbeumo, they're your best players. There's no reason why I think you're the advantage for us going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, I sent you my predicted 11 before, but I'm unsure of how Amorim's going to play it. There was rumours he was going to go to a back 4, but then I don't really think he's going to, because he's so married to his system of 3 at the back. But out of possession, that system leaves so many holes in the midfield. And when you have the likes of Tielemans, Kamara, McGinn, I do think you'll bully us in that area.
With Ruben Amorim, his team selection, it's never consistent. But one week to another, you just don't know what to expect. You need a consistent team. To the players that know what system to use.
I agree with you. I think he doesn't know his best team. You look through the back line and that changes quite a lot. No one knows what his favourite back line is. And I think that's a really important part of your team. You know, you build out from the back, and getting Lamens in has been huge for us, because Onana was really, really poor. I'm sure we'll touch on it, but obviously we nearly got your keeper in the summer. But Lamens has been a good addition for us. That's nailed on. But the back 3, we don't know who his best back 3 is. Oftentimes changes it in the game, which I think can affect us. His wing-backs, they're not really wing-backs apart from Ahmad, who's the only one that's really nailed on. The midfield 2, which comes under the most criticism in our team, is probably his most nailed-on players in Bruno and Casemiro. And then his front 3, Mbeumo is probably the first name on the team sheet when it comes to that front 3. But his best position really is a right winger, and he's being asked to play inside a lot. Cunha, which I think his best position is the number 10. A lot of the times he's being asked to play up front, which kind of nullifies his ball carrying. Sesko's been out of the team because of injury and is adapting to the Premier League. And then Mason Mount, I would say, is one of our best players, but he's so injury prone. You never know if he's going to be there. So, yeah.
He's been in great form, Mason Mount. He's getting a few more regular minutes now. It's not the season he was in out of the team, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I saw a stat, and I don't know how this holds up after the Bournemouth game, but before the Bournemouth game, games that Mason Mount started, United had a 71% win rate, and games that he didn't start, it was a 25% win rate. And I think that shows how much of an important season he's having. I think he's underrated. I still do, because he's been he's had such an unfortunate time with injuries over the last few years. People have forgotten how good he was when he was winning the Champions League with Chelsea. That player is in there. He's so intelligent. He's good on the ball. But like you said, how do you build a team with someone you never know if they're going to be fit or not, and you have to manage the minutes? It's difficult.
Well, I think Bruno Fernandes is your talisman, I think. Because I think with Fernandes, like, he's a big moment player. But he always steps up in the big moments. He scored an excellent free kick against Bournemouth. But I did see that. I watched one of your shows before. Do you think that Fernandes is wasted in that position? The position he plays?
Yeah, I don't like him in the midfield too. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Bruno has to be in the team because of how good he is and his qualities. And I think he's a good captain, despite what others may say. I think he's passionate. I think he loves the club. I think he's committed to the club, which is what I want from a Manchester United captain. With Bruno, he's been my favourite player. Like, I've got his signed shirt. He's been my best. He's been my favourite player since he's been here. I love him. But this is where my frustration comes in with Ruben Amorim, because for me, he's making me frustrated with Bruno, because I think that position he's playing now, I think it highlights a lot of Bruno's flaws, which is losing the game. Losing the ball in silly positions. Sometimes he's trying so hard that he's running all over the place and he's leaving gaps everywhere. And in that position, I think you need someone who's disciplined. I think you need someone who's very press resistant. And I think Bruno's just a bit too erratic to consistently play in a midfield too. When he's higher up the pitch, he can take them risks. He can get his creativity. He's a big moment player. He's a magic player. And I think he's so talented. John McGinn, he's such a good player. Yeah.
Once we've got John McGinn and you've got Fernandes.
Yeah, I mean, I think John McGinn's a really, really good player. I think I'd take Bruno if I had to pick. That's just my opinion. Yes. But he is like the heartbeat of our team, which John McGinn's like the heartbeat of your team. Yes. And I just think, closer to goal, you get the best out of him, and that highlights his strengths. And I don't know, people say he's playing in that midfield too, because Ruben Amorim doesn't actually have any midfielders that he really rates that highly, so he's having to move Bruno back. But I think you don't get the best out of him there. He's still doing really well because he's such a talented player, but I prefer him higher up the pitch personally.
I mean, Fernandes, I like his passing range and his real leader on the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's, he gets criticised a little bit sometimes because he's waving his arms in the air and people can say he plays the game a little bit in that way, and people call him out for petulance. I think he cares. I think he does everything he can to win. Yeah. And I would rather someone waving their arms about because they're bothered about the team than not doing everything they can. For me, I don't think you can ever criticise Bruno for his work rates. Not every player has a good game every game. That's like even... Yeah. The best of the best don't, but what he will do is he'll run through brick walls for you. And I do think he leads by example, which is, I think he is a leader. I think he's really important to us.
He's one of those players that takes the game by the scruff of its neck, which you need, those players that you need.
Yeah, and I saw John McGinn do that for you guys against PSG. Yeah. So maybe they are a bit similar.
Yeah, yeah, it's a rarity. Yeah. I don't know what you think of this, but I think Tony Watkins and Donya Marlon, I think they should start in this game. Gives an extra firepower up front, I think.
Yeah, I've often seen Emery swap Watkins out for Donya Marlon. I know they can play together, very different sort of styles of forward players, but I think they would complement each other. I think it would give us a problem. I think if you have the young defenders in there, like Aidan Heaven and Lenny Yoro, as good as I think they can be, they'd probably struggle to handle the likes of a Watkins, experienced Premier League striker. And then Donyell Marlin running off that, it would probably give us a lot of problems. Honestly, you guys worry me. You really do, because most teams in the league cause us problems. And since you guys have actually managed to get off the mark, them goals are flowing and your players are looking really good. So I'd be with you on that. I think that would be a good choice for them two to start against us.
I think going into the game, I think we're the favourites. We're the favourites going into this game, don't I? I think we are.
I would assume... I think I would assume you are because of your run of form, and I think, what's your win streak now?
Well, nine wins in a row.
Nine wins in a row, exactly. I knew it was a lot. Took you a while to start winning, but once you did, you've flown. So I think you would be the favourites because of that. Our away form has actually been pretty good. And it started to pick up. That win at Selhurst gave us a massive boost. I know Wolves are really, really poor, but that was another away win for us. It's just our home form has been so poor. So that would put us back into the mix. But I think if you look at Villa's form compared to United's, I would say that Villa are the favourites. Especially being at Villa Park.
Oh, yeah, it's a fortress. Also, at the moment, and Cesco and Cunha, you get a lot of pace. You got a lot of pace up front. But I'm looking forward to the game, actually. It's going to be a great game of football, I reckon.
I hope so. And it always is against, I think, Villa versus United. Always is. Whether it's goals, whether it's, you know, a tight game, it always is an entertaining game, I think, when we play against Aston Villa. But what I would say about Cesco as well is he's been in and out the team. I think he will start because Mbeumo and Ahmad are at AFCON. I'm really excited to see how he does up against your centre-backs because I think it'll be a good test for him. And I think there's so much more to him than what we've seen yet. So I'm excited to see him play. I'm glad you pointed him out.
Yeah, because the African Cup of Nations, that's going to be a key factor. Because we've only got Gasson that's out. But to be honest, I don't think Gasson's been playing that well. But the players that you've got going to AFCON, they're going to be a big loss, I think.
Yeah, I think people don't realise how important Ahmad is to our team. Ahmad out wide, he gives us width. He's not only ridiculously good going forward, he's such a hard worker getting back as well. He's so technically good on the ball. He's an intelligent player. He gives, when he starts, Manchester United look like a different team. And I think he's going to be a big, big loss. And in his area, we don't really have anyone that can fill his shoes. Dorgu has been a bit disappointing since he came in. Dalot isn't as good going forward as Ahmad is. He worries defenders when he's going at you, and it brings defenders away from Mbeumo, which then lets Mbeumo get space and do what he does, which we all know how good he is from his season at Brentford over the last few years, his seasons at Brentford. And he came into United and hit the ground running as well. So I am gutted that them two players are going to be out. And I think one that goes under the radar too is Mazraoui. Mazraoui going to Morocco is going to hurt us. I thought it hurt us last game. He wasn't there for Bournemouth. He's an experienced player. He's part of our leadership team.
He wants to get forward.
Yeah. And he's important. He reads the game well. So it's basically our whole right-hand side that's being sweeps away and taken out by AFCON. Respect the competition, and I hope our players do well, but also I'm gutted.
Go on to the next talking point then. We're going to get on screen the Man United predicted lineup that you sent me. So this one I've got that you sent me. So can you talk me through how Man United set up? So what do we expect?
So, yeah, I will. Slightly different formation I would have had it as. I don't know if he will go to a back four or not, but I would have had him. I think he'll go with a 3-4-3 or a 3-4-2-1 sort of. So I'll sort of like kind of read it out. So it's nearly there. Lamens in goal, And then I think his three centre-backs will be Yoro on the right-hand side, Heaven down the middle, and then Luke Shaw on the left.
Oh, yeah.
I think his two midfielders will be Mainoo and Bruno in there because Casemiro is unfortunately suspended. Mainoo hasn't started a game for us this season, so let's see if he does, but I think he has to play him. The two wing-backs, I think, will be Dalot and Dorgu. Yeah. And then I think your two number 10s will be Mount and Cunha. And then your one up top will be Benjamin Sesko, your number 9. I think.
It's Kobbie Mainoo. He's been injured. He's got a few injuries, he has.
Yeah, he did do, and then he was out of the team. And I don't know if you know, but there's been a lot going on around him and Ruben Amorim at the moment. His brother wore a Free Mainoo t-shirt in the stands in our last game. So, yeah, it's the fans are a bit frustrated. He's maybe not getting too much game time. Ruben Amorim just doesn't seem to fancy him at all. So I'm hoping he can get his first start because he's been fit for a bit now and he's just not getting any chance really under Ruben Amorim. So I'm hoping he does. I tell you what, though, looking at our team, we could do with Victor Lindelof, couldn't we?
Yeah, good goals, Victor Lindelof. He's up against his old club. Yeah.
And Sancho as well. I don't think Sancho can play, though, can he? Because he's on loan.
No, he's on loan. That's it, yeah. Yeah. Also, Beth, all in the way, your goalkeeper, the man's, I think he's made some good stats. I think when you notice that they always needed a goalkeeper, and at least you've got one now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Onana was just not anything United fans thought he was going to be. I don't think he could handle the pressure of Manchester United. And Lomenzi's only young, but he's come in and he's not done anything fancy. He's not pulled off any like absolute wonder saves, but he makes saves. He makes good saves. He's good on the ball and he assures you. Like the defence feel comfortable. The fans feel comfortable. Comes and collects crosses. He just does all the basics really, really well. And for such a young keeper to not be fazed at all by how heavy of a shirt that weighs, really, the Man United goalkeeper shirt, I'm really, really happy with him. And I think there's a quality keeper for years to come in there. So he's definitely been a good addition for us. Nearly could have played for you guys. He was linked to you as well, wasn't he?
Very close at one point. Also, I'm going to say, Luke Shaw. I think in that team, we were my favourite players. In the Man United team, Luke Shaw. For me, he's Mr. Consistent. He's always reliable. I do think, actually, he's very underrated, you know, I think. He puts a good shift in.
Chad, you've just become my new favourite person because I love Luke Shaw. I think he's brilliant. Yeah. And so many United fans constantly talk bad about him because of his injury record and because he was injured for a full season and then he went and played for England in the Euros and United fans weren't happy about it because then he got injured again. But if you actually look at him as just a footballer, I completely agree with you. He is so good on the ball. He is really intelligent. He's experienced. And I think he's a leader on the pitch as well. I really like him. I agree with you. I think he's one of our best players, honestly.
So we'll move on to the next talking point. So talking about Victor Lindelof. So from a Man United fan perspective, what are your thoughts on Victor Lindelof?
It's Victor Lindelof, I think, is an interesting one because the centre-back pairing of him and Maguire got a second in the Premier League under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And he had some really good moments for us, really good moments. But unfortunately, where his downfall was, and I don't know how you feel about him at Villa. I know he had a really good cameo the other day off the bench. Mm-hmm. But he sometimes had a tendency to be a little bit weak in certain moments and get shoved off the ball. So Vince Lindelof can have a really, really good game. And then the next game, he'll be weak. And you just need a bit more strength there. However, I actually think if it was up to me, I would have kept him as a squad player because I think he's intelligent. I think he's a good centre-back. And I think we would have been using him now if he was fit. I don't think he's a Manchester United, on paper, starter. However, he's absolutely capable. And I would have liked to have him as a squad player. So it's good to see him still playing, and I think he will do a good job for you guys. I do.
Good. Well, look at what Lindelof is. He's a rotation player. And for Unai Emery, I think Unai likes it. It's good defensive backup to have. The only thing I think on Sunday, when we struggle without Paul Torres, against West Ham, even though we won that game. When we had no Martinez and Torres, that was a struggle without, especially Torres. So, interesting how Lindelof plays against Man United. defensively.
He'll probably have man of the match performance against us, to be honest. That's what ex-players seem to do. But no, I think it, like you said, I know Pau Torres has been a really important player for you guys, so it's big shoes to fill. But I think Victor Lindelof will do a good job. And against his old club, he's going to have that extra firepower to want to go in. Yeah, motivation. You took the words out of my mouth there. You got the right one. got what I was trying to think of. But yeah, I think he will, and I think that will egg him on a little bit further. Like you say, Martinez as well. He nearly moved to Man United in the summer, so he's probably got a little bit of extra oomph about him. He always does against us. He likes to wind us up.
And Lindelof as well. He's got a bit of experience because he's an international defender that plays for Sweden. And what I like about him, actually, long range. He's quite good at long range passes out from the back sometimes. He did it a few times against West Ham. He's like a no-nonsense defender. And he makes clearances when he needs to.
Victor Lindelof, one of his best attributes for us was his passing. His passing's really good. He put in some really good balls to Rashford over the top. They used to have a good connection. I used to see them passes. His long-range passing is really, really good. So that is one of his strengths, I've noticed as well.
Yeah. And as well, like his leadership. And he's actually good in the air. The air, when he wins battles in the air, good for set pieces, maybe, like, useful set-piece situation.
For us, he used to be mixed. Like, one game he'd be really good, and then the next one he'd get beat. So it's like, he played for us for quite a long time, so you're going to have poor games, aren't you, in that? So it's... When Victor Lindelof's on form, very, very good defender, but he does have his off days. Let's see if you experience him.
And I think as well, he is quite versatile. Because you can play it right back. And I think left back, you can play a few positions.
He's played CDM, I think, as well before.
It was pretty good there, yeah. It's a useful part of. So I'm going to talk about Ruben Amorim. So are you a fan of Ruben Amorim? So what is your perspective about him? Have you seen any signs of improvement with Amorim?
I've seen signs of improvement, but I think it'd be pretty hard not to. How poor we were last season, the fact did we finish 15th in the league? It was something like that. So, I have seen some improvements, but then I think to myself, are them improvements just the fact that we have a competent goalkeeper now? We've bought two of the best attackers in the league last season in Mbeumo and Cunha, so our attack is functioning in a better way and we're scoring more goals. I think I'm going to be so honest. Now, always want to back I want to back managers every single time. I really want him to do well. I like the way he talks. I like the way he speaks in press conferences. I like his interviews, and I really want him to do well. But I don't really like the formation of three at the back. To be honest with you, I don't think it's working. We concede way too many goals. He struggles in games to. Make the right substitutions to see out a game or come back in a game. And our performances overall are very, very poor. So against Bournemouth, the first half was brilliant. That's probably one of the best I've seen us play under Amorim. So you see these glimpses of a good team. But I need to see... What I want to see is better performances, to be honest with you. It's like, I can take losing. I understand we're not going to go from 15th in the league to the top of the Premier League in one season, but I want to see good football, and then hopefully results will follow.
Well, Man United,
a lot of people say,
there's a level of expectation. And it's clearly not good enough, really, for where you want to be, the expectations. But do you think, he needs a bit more time?
It's difficult because I'm stuck in a position where I feel like if we did change it, you could get someone in that could get us Champions League football, and then we can maybe in the meantime, and we can kick on from there. I don't want to be in a position where we're out of the question for Champions League football, because that can have a big knock-on effect for you for many years to come. Like, this, we need a really, really good midfielder this summer. We need an Elliot Anderson. We need our like Declan Rice type signing. And if we don't have Champions League football, that'd be really hard to do. So part of me is like, do we change it and try and get Champions League football? But then also, I really do think he deserves the season. So I would give him the rest of the season. I would. Need to see some improvement in performances and hope we get Champions League football. But then a lot of people say, oh, he needs time. I get that. But look at how quick, for example, your manager, Emery, came in and improved that team. Like, sometimes you just got to get the best out of what you've got.
Yeah. The one side, you can't. But you can't undo the way Emery, though.
Oh, I know. You Villa fans always tell me that. They say, keep your hands off our manager. To be honest, I think what Emery's building there, I know Manchester United is a massive club, and look, I will always back my football club no matter what. And I think people forget sometimes how big the name Manchester United is. Despite the fact we've been poor over the last how many years, it still holds a lot of weight, a lot of history. People want to come to us because of that. I think what Aston Villa's done in allowing Emery to build and what Emery's done really with what he's got, I think it's a good relationship between the fans and him. I think he's doing a really, really good job there. And I think he'd only leave that for a really good opportunity.
I think the Aston Villa has got that pressurized environment. He went to Man United. Would he be able to handle that pressurized environment? Aston Villa, it suits Unai Emery. And also, they got the full backing as well.
Well, that's what I mean, because he was at Arsenal, wasn't he? And that didn't really work out too well. But I actually do think, because of where Man United are at now, in terms of where our standards have dropped to, if he came in, I don't think there'd be... It's not like you've got the pressure to go and win the league straight away. You've got pressure to get us back into Champions League football, yeah, but it's not like it was when Sir Alex first departed, because we've been in poor positions. We understand that managers do need a bit of time. And this is the thing, Amorim needs time, but in that time, you've got to show us why you deserve time. You've got to at least show us something, if you know what I mean. I think he's a brilliant manager.
Do you prefer... Eric Ten Hag? Look at what you had him. Are you glad that you got under him? Would you prefer Eric Ten Hag if he was back? Yeah.
It's a tough question, Chad. It's a tough question. Look, I don't think Ten Hag was the right man, because do you know what it was? Eric Ten Hag knew. I think Eric Ten Hag understood the club. Yeah. I think he understood the club a bit more than Amorim does, and the expectations in terms of the football that you need to play, and bringing youth through. He brought through Kobbie Mainoo, he brought through Alejandro Garnacho. Ruben Amorim doesn't like to use the youth, and I think our football has been a bit stagnant, which is not what United is about.
You won the FA Cup. However,
and he knew how important trophies were, and we won the FA Cup. That was a brilliant night for me, the Carabao Cup. And I'm still young. I'm only 24, and I've had more Wembley trips under Eric Ten Hag than any other manager, really. And it's not been that many, but you know, FA Cup, you play the semi-final at Wembley, don't you? So that's been nice in terms of that they were really exciting times for me as a fan. However, what let Ten Hag down is his talent identification, his recruitment was terrible. He didn't play the likes of Ahmad, who was one of our better players. His signings were really poor. Yeah, he did. He lost the dressing room. And I don't think, from what I've heard, I don't think he could get across his message of how he wanted to play to the players. Like, I don't think he was very motivational in that aspect. I think Amorim's very passionate. I think the players like him. I think he's got good man management. It's just on the pitch, he's not being able to deliver exciting football that wins your games either. So at the moment, you have to say Ten Hag was better. He had better finishes in the league. He won us titles. However, I think Amorim has the potential and the capability to do more at Manchester United than what Ten Hag could.
The good man to Unai Emery. That's why I think Aston Villa. We need to make the most of Unai Emery. All his year, not win a trophy. That's the next thing I want to see as a Villa fan. Because Emery's been successful. A lot of clubs he's been to. I want him to deliver a trophy at Aston Villa.
I think if he stays with you guys, he will. Like, if you look at his track record, I think he will. And you guys are in the Europa League this year, right?
Yeah, Europa League, yeah.
That's his competition, you know. That's his competition. Yeah. So you've got a good chance this year with him there, I think.
Good news, he's won that Europa League. Four or five times, I think. He's won it quite a few times.
Yeah. That's his competition. So I know you guys were gutted when we unfortunately knocked you out the Champions League spots at the end of the season. But it might be a blessing in disguise because realistically, are Villa going to win the Champions League? I mean, never say never, but probably not. The Europa League, that's genuinely a trophy that I think Villa could go out there and win with Unai Emery.
In the Champions League?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So go to the next talking point then. So we're going to talk about our excellent form at Villa Park. Villa Park's been a fortress. So I'm going to get the graphic on screen first. So this is Emery's Premier League record. So 519, obviously 165. What was his win percentage? 54.62. He's got the all-time high in Premier League wins, which is remarkable, really. It shows, really, that he's transformed the football club completely. The way his objective when he first came in, he wanted to make Villa Park a fortress, and he's definitely done that. So, Beth, what do you make of this graphic?
It makes me nervous to go there on the weekend. I think it's brilliant what he's done. I think he's brilliant what he's done at Aston Villa. I remember when you were under Gerrard and you looked like a relegation team and Emery's come in and he's just transformed you guys. And for me, I'm a season ticket holder at Old Trafford. So I know how important it is for fans to go to a game, see good performances and see wins. Don't get me wrong, your away fans are so loyal and the really important part of the football club. But that home support and to have them wins and them good games there, it really just lifts the atmosphere, it lifts the players. And I think for him to be able to do that for you guys is a big reason is why you've been successful and a big reason why so many of the fans really, really love him and understandably. Yeah. So as a United fan, I would want that at United because when I go to the games, for example, the last few games I've seen at Old Trafford were Bournemouth 4-4, good game, but you didn't win, so it always leaves a sour taste in your mouth. West Ham, draw, Everton loss against 10 men, they're not good games to go and watch as a fan of your football club. So I think what he's done is amazing, really.
And if you're a good thought at home or in anything, any team, you're going to do really well. Do you win most of your home games? All your home form's really important. And also the fans. The 12th man always get behind the team. And that sort of helped as well with not just Emery. The fans have contributed to that as well.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. I think, like I said, you know, being in Old Trafford quite a lot, you can really be that 12th man on the pitch as fans. So I think, don't get me wrong, the players have to put it in because I think the fans feed off the football that they're seeing, but the fans can be really, really important. And like you said, it's kind of testament to them as well.
We make it really difficult for the opposition. We put them under pressure. I don't think being a fortress has been the key to Unai Emery's success.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Unai Emery, his win record at home is absolutely something that he's contributed towards how good that he's been. And it's interesting, really, because at the start of the season, when you guys weren't doing so well, there were a few question marks, but I saw so many Villa fans saying, absolutely no way, look at what this guy's done for us. There's such a connection there, and it obviously translates into the stadium as well.
Because we're unstoppable. And as an opposition, they always fear coming to Villa Park. There doesn't seem to be a fear factor.
Apart from us, we do quite well there.
apart from you guys. But I don't think we haven't even can change it on Sunday.
We'll have to see what your prediction is.
Also, I think the conversation at dinner, also even going to win the title, but just to be in the conversation is an amazing achievement. You really put it behind Man City. Also 3 points behind Arsenal.
Yeah, I think Villa being there, it surprised me because I knew they were winning, you know, a lot of games in a row. Like you said, it's 9 now, which is crazy. But I remember the start of the season, I was generally worried about Villa because I watched quite a few of your games. I had Ollie Watkins and Morgan Rodgers in my FPL team.
He started badly, they had a bad start.
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh gosh, I don't know, is this fatigue because of how well you've been doing? Do you need a bit of refreshments in your squad? Maybe you've not signed as many players as you would have wanted to. Is this going to affect you? But then Emery worked it out and you've bounced back and you are unreal at the moment. So yeah, to be in that race, I think the Premier League's super open and you guys are taking advantage of that. And look, as a United fan, I'd much rather you guys than Arsenal or City. So
yeah, definitely. We're going to the next talking point. So we'll talk about Emi Martinez. So it's a Man United fan. What were your thoughts on the Emi Martinez situation? And was you shocked that the deal didn't go ahead?
Yeah, I wanted to sign Emi Martinez because I think United needed somebody like him. I know he's not the youngest, but as a goalkeeper, you can go on for a bit longer, so that didn't really worry me. People talking about the cost and the wages, didn't care. I just wanted a keeper in that could do what he can do. And I know he has got mistakes in him, most keepers do, but he also is such a match winner. He's such a leader. He's a character. And I think we needed in our team more grit and more of someone who's just going to do anything they can to win. And he can be a wind-up merchant and he can be, you know, that character on the pitch. But I think teams need that. And I think we needed that. Amorim, I know, really wanted him. But he wasn't meant to be in the end. I think United, the hierarchy, decided it was a bit too much money to spend on a player that was, you know, over the age of 30 and wasn't exactly getting any younger. But I really did want him. I thought he was the experience that United were crying out for.
Yeah. Well, he's got a big personality in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. And those sort of players you need. Only Aston Villa Martinez is the real spine of the team, I think. Without him, I don't think we would be doing so well, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so underrated to have a good keeper. And not only a good keeper, but a keeper with character, a keeper that can lead from the back.
World Cup winner.
Exactly. And was really pivotal in that as well. Contributed a lot to that World Cup win. So, he can be a bit arrogant? Maybe. But I think keepers need to be sometimes. If you've got the ability to back it up, then it can help towards your game.
We saw him a few years ago. I think it was a Dean Smith signing. And he's become really...
Dean Smith.
Crucial. Oh, yeah, Dean Smith, yeah.
That's a throwback.
And Martinez is probably one of the most important players. With Martinez, you got McGinn. Looks at Ollie Watkins. And for me, I got Tiernamans. In Consai, you know, he's in
great.
That category. Yeah. Definitely, it shows what a quality Schools, we've got a lot of quality in our team.
Absolutely, I agree. I think your midfield especially is something that you've got different attributes that complement each other in there.
Yeah. And for the Martinez situation, at the time it was a bit strange. He wanted to leave, he did. But the deal didn't fall through. I do love Martinez. But at the time, I think he went about it the wrong way. But he didn't really show much respect at the time. But I've moved on from that now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, actually, as a Villa fan, how did you feel about that?
At the time, I felt it disrespectful. But then, he's that sort of character. So I sort of wasn't surprised or expecting it.
I think he probably just wanted a last big payday.
Yeah. You look at Alexander Isak, the situation during the time when he went to Liverpool. I think that the players, I think these days, have got a lot of power. And they should show their employers, like, you know, more respect.
Mm.
You got Mark Gay, I think he did the same. It's always a bit different, actually. He was the one who actually did respect. Which the others should do.
I completely agree with you. I think Mark Gay handled the situation exactly how I'd want my player to handle it. Professional, shows why he's captain of Crystal Palace. But at the end of the day, he didn't get a move, did he? And that's, it doesn't set the right example, really.
Yeah.
If from the club's perspective, I wish he got, well, I don't wish he got that move because I'm hoping United are going to sign him this summer.
Well, do you think, though, if we don't get Champions League, that Martinez will leave? But as long as we get Champions League, he'll stay.
And trophy, maybe. That Europa League trophy might help it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Martinez, again, he's a big moment player. And so many times, Martinez, he's saved us in games. And he's kept us in games.
That's what you need from your keeper, and we didn't have that with Andre Onana. He would just get us out of games very quickly. Yeah. Or lose us games. He would never really save us games. And you need your keeper to be able to come in clutch and stabilise the team. And Emi Martinez does that for you.
And he adapted really well. With Unai Emery playing out from the back. He also plays a sweeper keeper. He's good with his feet as well, I think.
Yeah, I think he's just an all-round top-quality keeper. Top-quality keeper. One of the best in the Premier League, I would say. And he's got moments in him, but his positive attributes and the stuff he can do is just, he's so worth everything that comes with him, I think. I mean, even like his penalty saving is something that's always needed. Like, say if you got to the Europa League final and it comes to penalties, we were in the Europa League final once and we had a legend of our club, David De Gea, in that, who wasn't very good at saving penalties, and we lost that. If we had a keeper that was actually decent at saving pens that game, we would have won that. And don't get me wrong, he's won us a lot of other games because of how good he was for us. But if you guys get there, that's a really good attribute for a keeper to have that can win you a game.
I'm going towards the end of the podcast. So before we go, Beth, I was going to say, for anyone who doesn't know, what is the United stand? You're a very big name channel.
Yes, the United Stand is a community, a big community now, of Manchester United fans from around the world that tune in to our channel for opinion, debate, new shows, transfer news, and we do three shows a day often, 10 a.m., 2 a.m., and 8 p.m. Match days, yeah, we do previews, we do after shows with Manchester United fans that have been to the game. We have people calling in from all around the world, and it's a real fan-led community that is all about fan opinion, honest opinion, and yeah, it's a great community of people and Manchester United fans that all want the club to to get back to its best.
Well done, Beth. You're smashing it.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say as well, what you're doing is absolutely incredible. And I think you're a massive inspiration to a lot of people. So thank you. Thank you as well.
Thank you, Beth.
I really appreciate it.
Also, Beth, I was going to say, can you spread the word about my podcast?
Absolutely. When I leave this call or this podcast, I'm going to go onto Twitter. I'm going to tweet about it, tweet the show out, and I will spread the word. Of course, I will.
Well, and also, can you give me a score prediction?
Score prediction. I'm going to go with, and this might be wildly optimistic, but I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
Low scoring game, yeah. But I'm going to go 2-1.
There's goals in it.
2-1 Aston Villa.
You're backing your team, I rate it. To be fair, when you've won 9 games in a row, you've got to go with a win, haven't you? You got to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling positive. Hopefully we break the curse. Well, Beth, thank you for your time, Beth.
The pleasure is all mine. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a great chat. It's gone so quickly. And on Sunday, I want United to win. But for the rest of the season, I wish you luck. And like I said, I'd rather you guys than City or Arsenal. So, yeah, I really thank you for having me on once again. Such an amazing inspiration. Thank you to everybody watching as well. And I'll make sure to share it.
And maybe Christmas as well.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Have a lovely Christmas. I'll give you a message after the game just to kind of see what you thought of it. But have a lovely Christmas and a Happy New Year. And everybody else who's watching as well, Merry Christmas and have a good New Year too.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe. Make sure to smash the likes. And give it a share on all your socials. And if you're listening to my audio, make sure to name there's a good review. That always helps. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much for your time. I am going to wrap up this episode with Villa Threader, as always, and Up the Villa.